Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Islamic Republic of Iran, predator state with technology that is now part of the depredation in Ukraine and throughout the region, its technology, especially drones, are mentioned repeatedly as weapons of war for bad actors. At the center of this is the ability of Iran to manufacture weaponry, and that requires sophistication, investment, manufacturing skills, and also invites the attention of the United States, the European Union, and NATO, because Iran is under sanctions, severe sanctions, for its suspect nuclear weapons program and its bad conduct. However, I welcome Ben Talablu of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a senior fellow, who tells us in one particular instance how the Iranian regime is either avoiding, sidestepping, deceiving the sanctions regime visited upon the whole country. Benham, a very good evening to you. What is PASNA, P-A-S-N-A? Good evening.
A very good evening to you, John. Always a pleasure to be with you. PASNA, it's basically an English language transliteration of a Persian acronym. The entity is known in Farsi as Pardazan Sistem Namad Arman. And this is basically a sanctioned entity supporting Iran's drone and military programs in particular through the procurement of dual-use military-grade technology and perhaps more importantly, commercially viable, commercially found technologies that can then be used in these cheaper military systems like drones. It was sanctioned in 2018, but just like any other sanctioned Iranian defense contractor, it has fronts, it has affiliates, it has AKAs, it has fake names, fake addresses. And in a jurisdiction, Southeast Asia and East Asia in general, that Tehran likes to go shopping in, PASNA has been a key hub of procurement of material for Iran's drone program, even post-sanctions. And so recently, in April, the Treasury Department went after some more of the fronts tied to PASNA in Hong Kong, China, and Malaysia. Suppliers of PASNA in those jurisdictions, and ultimately the managing director, the MD of PASNA, this gentleman by the name of Mehdi Khoshqadam. So PASNA is helping the Islamic Republic's drone program, in short, despite sanctions.
I go to a document linking on your piece at FT Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. This is the sanctions list search for the Office of Foreign Assets Control. The entity named is Pardazan Sistem Namad Arman, which acronym is PASNA. However, there are many of them. This is from the original sanctions regime. Pardazan Systems, PASNA Industry, PASNA International Trading, PASNA Sino Trader Company, Puyan Electronic, Faraz Tigarat Ertabat Company. And these are all the same address or same people? How do these all relate?
Some of these are merely fictional companies created. Some of these are AKAs, what you call in the sanctions industry is also known as, aliases, so that this business, which is already subject to U.S. sanctions, can continue to conduct illicit transactions without, being detected and without being subject to the commensurate pressure that it deserves. So this phenomenon is not at all new in the Iran sanctions world, and that's precisely why many have called these games like playing the game of Russian nesting dolls or whack-a-mole. There's always another one to hit, and this is why U.S. sanctions, in order to be effective, have to be continually refined, calibrated, both with intel and open-source information to catch all of this musical chairs that happens at the boards and the name changes and the entity and alias changes to make sure our sanctions have this entity on lockdown.
If I read you correctly, Iran is not playing this game without a partner. The People's Republic of China and Hong Kong are part of this. How does that work?
And Malaysia, if I may add, which when you look to these areas also happens to correlate very strongly with other places Tehran has gone shopping in the past for missile technology, other military-grade technology. And then when you look at the waters off of these territories, places where there's been significant ship-to-ship transfers, ship-to-shore transfers, and illicit oil and petrochemical sales and storage. So broadly, how Iran operates in these places is it establishes front companies that are, you know, registered in local business registries. It moves men around. It moves money around. It's a very creative, you know, Harvard Business School in reverse here that is seeking to use places that still have a foothold in the international economy and to exploit the desire to make a buck by some around the world to obscure the end user, to procure Western components or to procure non-licensed copies of Western components in these jurisdictions, which aren't always subject to the best kind of trade and compliance controls, and then ultimately send that material back to Tehran for use in underwriting Iran's aggressive and revisionist foreign and security policy abroad.
The manufacturing of drones, you mentioned that they're participating in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen, and we can mention Ukraine as well. That's Iran's axis of, it's defeating the capability of Iran's axis of resistance. Is this well known in sanctions regime that you have to play whack-a-mole? And is the sanction regime responsive to this overwhelming detail?
Oh, indeed, it is well known that the people, both in the UK Foreign Office, the UK Treasury, the US Treasury, the Canadian entities, EU entities, Australia, New Zealand, all the countries that really have sanctions regimes, whether fully autonomous or following the UN. Know that you are supposed to play whack-a-mole, know that you are supposed to ratchet up the pressure, know that you're supposed to keep your eye on the ball, that just because you've levied one penalty doesn't at all mean it's a one and done. The art of sanctions, if you will, to borrow a phrase from Richard Nephew's book or book title, I should say, is indeed going to be all about enforcement. So playing this game of whack-a-mole is what puts the meat and the muscle behind any of the penalties coming from any of these countries against Iran's broader procurement, production, and proliferation of these dangerous systems. And it is no accident that no matter where you do see some of these Iranian drones, you do see other vectors of trouble where the Islamic Republic is engaged in as well. Sometimes illicit arms trafficking routes correlate with human trafficking routes, as happens to be the case of the Red Sea. Sometimes arms trafficking routes correlate with drug trafficking routes, which happens to be the case with Syria and Iraq and Jordan vis-a-vis the drug captagon, for example. Sometimes they correlate with sanctions-busting jurisdictions, like the case of Malaysia and Hong Kong and China that we're talking about today vis-a-vis oil and drone components. So very kaleidoscopically, it's never just one problem that we're looking at. It's how all these problems relate to one another and how that relates to both the legal penalties that you have on deck to levy against this entity and your will to enforce those penalties over time. This is a story of change over time. The Islamic Republic is not West Germany or some economic miracle state. It is a bankrupt third world oil dependent and oil exporting kleptocracy run by a zealous Islamist military dictatorship. It is not counting on, lots of clean foreign direct investment coming in. It is looking for ways to make a buck here or there to underwrite the cheap ways that it continues to fight its death by a thousand cuts against its adversaries. And if we don't even have the will to enforce penalties against this type of actor, heaven help us when we use these type of penalties against a much more capable, much richer, and a much more resolute actor like Russia, like China.
As the role of Iran as a junior partner, which you identify in your essay, has that role changed recently because of the limitations of the Russian authority in not only in Ukraine, but in Syria, throughout the world island? Russia is now seen as tattered in some fashion, no longer the big, strong, brute bear. Has Iran moved in as a partner, and as opposed to a junior partner, a full partner, or is Iran taking the lead here, manufacturing drones and other technology?
It depends a great deal on where you look at this. For instance, Russia and Iran together helped bail out the Maduro regime in Venezuela. Russia and Iran together helped bail out the Assad regime in Syria. Each one of these states that is certain kind of something brought their own comparative illicit and destabilizing advantages to places like Venezuela and Syria in their own right. But now with, you know, Russia's war already past its first year against Ukraine, what cheaper Iranian weapon systems gives the Russians is an ability to stay in the conflict longer. So if our tool against this Russian threat is also economic and designed to dry up Russian revenues to stop underwriting its defense industry, Iranian defense assets going to Russia, like ammunition, like artillery shells, which have been reported, by the way, as well as these suicide drones, as well as unmanned combat aerial vehicles, as well as potentially, heaven forbid, potentially one day even short-range ballistic missiles, as a deal was reported to have been made about this. This is designed to keep Russia in the fight longer. And Iran, which traditionally, as you mentioned, has been the junior partner to Russia, is hoping that its ability to help Russia achieve a key national security goal will level the playing field between it and have conventional weapons come to Iran as asymmetric or unconventional weapons are leaving Iran. And this way, a greater equilibrium can be restored between these two different types of states. But ultimately, make no mistake, these two states are interested in shooting in the same direction. They're interested in shooting at us.
You make a very good case for what's wrong and what is to be done. If I take your essay, you're pointing at managers, boards, companies, networks, individuals that need to be sanctioned. Is that correct?
Indeed. And this is where style has a substance of its own. It was absolutely correct to expose and designate PASNA in 2018. It is absolutely correct to continue to devote U.S. government resources to track all the fronts and affiliates and keep cracking down on it. But it is absolutely insufficient to have waited half a decade to sanction the head of, or shall I say, the MD or managing director of PASNA after 5 years after exposing the entity. The U.S. government needs to be better about taking a larger holistic approach to some of these sanctions. And rather than graduate and stratify and mete out punishment over time, deal larger big blows that expose the board, the banks that finance the board, the companies that finance and engage in shipments of raw material or these dual use components, as well as all the fronts and all the aliases at once, rather than holding back some of the firepower and distributing over time. If this information meets a certain legal threshold and a certain political threshold, it should be deployed all at once rather than stratified. So we need to change not just our sanction substance and the pace of these sanctions, but the style in which they are levied.
Benham Bentalibou, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, focusing on Iran. When we come back, Iranian mysteries, the death of an Ayatollah. Can it be explained in terms of the protests that are calling for regime change? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bennett.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.